of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father, and plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience to your word, so that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved.
Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
Gaudete. Rejoice in the Lord always.
Again, I will say, Gaudete. Rejoice.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob,
whose hope is in the Lord his God,
who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them,
who keeps faith forever,
who executes justice for the oppressed,
who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous.
Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Old Testament reading for the Gaudete Sunday, the third Sunday in Advent, is from the book of the prophet Zephaniah, the third chapter. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst, and you shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion, let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. And at that time, I will bring you in. At that time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth. When I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sin. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob.
You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin.
You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger.
Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us.
Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations?
Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?
Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation.
Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will seek peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other.
Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky.
Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the fourth chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah! Behold, I send my messenger before your face. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the seventh chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
The disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, He has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by all her children. This is the gospel of the Lord. Heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text from the Gospel reading, I'll reread a few verses. When the men had come to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?' In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind, he bestowed sight, and he answered them, 'Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me.'" This is our text. I would say that in this reading from Luke chapter 7, it doesn't take long to see the problem in the passage. The problem appears with John the Baptist's disciples. And you ought to have a little bit of the backstory here. John the Baptist is in prison. The reason for this is that Herod, the ruler of Galilee, didn't like being told that he shouldn't sleep with his brother's wife. The tabloids, of course, love those sorts of things. But God help the prophet who decides to say anything about it. And John the Baptist wouldn't shut up. He just kept bringing up the Bible with Herod. He kept saying to Herod, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And Herod had enough of it and threw him in prison. And now his followers don't know what to do. Those disciples had found in John a sense of meaning, of purpose, and of belonging. He took his beliefs seriously, he took God's word seriously, and he taught others to do the same as well. But now that John's in prison, they're flailing. His whole movement seems to be on life support. You know, when it comes to warfare and battles, that's why enemy combatants always try to aim for the head honcho. You take out the head, and the body won't know what to do. It won't last long. And so it is in this situation. With John imprisoned, his followers are almost headless. Their world seems to be on the brink of falling apart. So now what? Now they're searching. This is the thing I want you to have in mind with these disciples of John the Baptist. They're searching. They're searching for something. They're searching for anything. Now, they still have contact with John while he's in prison, and they've started to hear about another guy, some guy named Jesus of Nazareth, up in the North Country. This Jesus guy intrigues them a little bit. The latest rumor they heard is that Jesus stopped a funeral procession in its tracks in the city of Nain by bringing a young man back to life. That's the latest they heard. So they send word to John, and John sends them to Jesus asking, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Should they keep searching? They're searching for something. They're looking for something. They may not even know what it is they're searching for or looking for, but suddenly they've been pointed to Jesus, and so they're asking him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or do we need to keep looking, keep searching somewhere else?" What about us? What about our world? What about you? I would suggest that our world is searching as well, and that you may be searching too, whether you know it or not. Underlying for us and in our culture and society, there's a sort of restlessness at hand. You can't hide it. You may think you can, but you can't. This restlessness comes out in the way that we talk about our life, our family, our work, our play. It comes out in how we spend our time and our money, scrolling, clicking, shopping, consuming, eating, drinking, you name it. What are your habits of restlessness? How does this sort of endless search show up in your life? Or another way of saying it is this. Where do we find meaning? What is it that gives us a sense of belonging? I'd say that there are often two directions that we go. One direction is look to the past, the nostalgia, how things used to be, what it was like, how good it was. But another way that we have of dealing with this is by looking to the next thing. The next purchase, the next relationship, the next job, maybe even the next church. Once I get this thing nailed down, we think, once we get it settled, fixed, changed, then everything will be good. Except I'm reminded that the one thing that was there in the past and the one thing that continues with us into the future is me. And I'm the one thing that needs fixing and changing. I'm the one thing that's restless and searching. Now, when I say all of this, I don't mean to discourage planning and goals. I'm not saying, like, stop thinking about the future. No, we should. My aim isn't to make you satisfied with how you are now, with yourself or your brokenness or your sin or anything like that. But I do think we need to address, we need to deal with in our lives this endless quest for something more, for something else, for another. Now, I would say that deep down, this restlessness that we see in our world, this restlessness that we have in ourselves, does show something true. It reveals something about us. It reveals that deep down in the human breast, there's an expectation for something different, for something more. There's the recognition that this isn't all there is to life. St. Augustine, a Christian bishop in the 4th century, put it like this, giving both the cause of the restlessness, but also the solution for it. He said, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you, O Lord." You may find this restlessness in your life, the sense that there ought to be something more because of something you've been through recently. Maybe it's your health that's failing or the health of a loved one. Maybe someone you were close to died. Maybe a marriage has crumbled or a job has ended or the creditors have been knocking and you don't know which way is up and how you can keep going. John the Baptist's disciples go to Jesus in their time of questioning and their time of searching, and they ask about the thing, they go and they learn about the things that Jesus has been doing. John sends them to say, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we look for another?" And we might wonder that same thing. Jesus, are you the one? Or should we keep on looking? Should we search for someone else, for another something? Who or what would be your another? The thing you're looking for. The thing or the person that would satisfy you. Are you the one who is to come? I think it's interesting. It's almost a title for the Messiah, the coming one. It implies that there's a beginning, or at least something prior and something in the future as well. Where is he coming from? What is he coming for, this coming one? We use this language when we speak of Jesus in our creeds, that he is coming again to judge the living and the dead. But even before that, we have his coming in the flesh as we celebrate his birth at Christmas. And we have his coming to us now in his holy word and his holy sacraments. God comes for us. He comes to us. The disciples of John go to Jesus and they ask their question, "Are you the one who is to come? Should we be looking for someone else? Where will our search end, this longing that we have?" Jesus' response is not so much to give them words, but to point them to his deeds. Jesus points them to what he does, to his acts. It's a list of messianic deeds. We heard it in our psalm today and in the intro it. We see it all over the Old Testament scriptures, this promise that there is one who is going to come, who is going to do all sorts of miraculous and wonderful things. He will give the blind their sight. He will heal the lame. He will even raise the dead. The Jews have been searching for the Messiah for centuries by the time we read this text in Luke chapter 7. And now Jesus is saying, "Now in me," Jesus proclaims, "it's all completed." Everything that they've been searching for over the centuries, everything that they've been longing for and hoping for, has arrived in Jesus. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised like the widow of Nain's son. What the prophets have long expected, what the kings most desired, what the patriarchs were longing for, all of it has arrived in the person of Jesus Christ. It's as if Jesus is saying to them, "You can stop searching. You can stop looking. You can let that restlessness end in me. For I have brought and am bringing what you are looking for." Now, I think, of course, if you'd say that in Jesus right now we can have our sight restored and our deafness taken away and any sicknesses and illnesses healed and our dead raised, we would be all for it. But it's interesting, in this list of messianic works that Jesus gives, it's building toward a climax, toward a peak, and the last one he gives is this: the poor have good news preached to them. You might think that raising the dead is the greatest thing of all, but Jesus says, even though it's not quite as flashy of a sign, it is the climactic sign. It is a sign of the Lord's presence, and it is a mark of his kingdom. This preaching of good news, the proclamation of the gospel, the good news that is tied up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. What is good about this one who has come? Well, he has come from heaven, and he has come in our flesh, and he has come to do something spectacular and wonderful and miraculous beyond all expectation. He has come to take the place of sinners, to die for those who are restless and searching and longing and always looking for something new or something different or something more. He has come to take all of that and let it be nailed to a cross and then be laid in a grave so that he can rise from the dead with new life, with a life for you and for me and for those disciples of John that will never end. Jesus says to them as they're preparing to leave, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Blessed is the one who is not scandalized, the one who is not tripped up by me." Well, who would be offended by Jesus? Well, whoever thinks that what Jesus has done in dying and rising for us is not enough, they would be offended by him. Or whoever downplays their Christianity or hides their beliefs or is ashamed of the Bible and the sacraments and the church, they would be offended by Jesus. Or whoever considers in their life Jesus to be an extra feature, maybe kind of a little thing, an insufficient thing, important enough to spend an hour on Sunday morning, but that's it, that person would be offended by Jesus. But I'll tell you who is not offended by Jesus, and that's John the Baptist. John, who is the one who prepares the way for his coming. He is, as Jesus says, greater, the greatest of those born of women, because he is the one who announces that the Messiah has come. He is the one who points people to Jesus, points us to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's a prophet. He's even greater than a prophet. And he's about to be a martyr, one who witnesses to Jesus even to the point of death. As I said earlier, Jesus came for a world that is restless, but Jesus didn't come because of his own restlessness. It wasn't because of his own dissatisfaction. Jesus didn't do what he did because he was driven by some insane compulsion for the next thing. He didn't leave his Father's side for that. But he did come seeking. He did come searching for something, even for someone. He came seeking and searching for you. That is why he came, that you might know him, that you might know his love, that you might belong to him now and forever. That's why Jesus came. There's this beautiful line from our Old Testament reading today. The prophet Zephaniah is telling the people of God not to fear. He says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." He will rejoice over you with gladness. And we believe that the prophet Zephaniah is talking not simply about all Christians, but he is talking about each and every one of you. The joy of your Lord is over you. Because he knows you. He knows your need for him. He knows the restlessness that you have felt. And he came, and in his joy, he gave his life on the cross that he might win you and love you and make you his own. And he says he will quiet you with his love. Dear friends, that is what you hear today. That is what you receive today. The love of Jesus for you, that took him all the way to the cross and then out the other side of the grave and brings him to you now with his word, with his sacraments, to show his love for you. He isn't seeking something better. He isn't seeking something more. He isn't seeking something different. He knows you even in your sin and your brokenness and your restlessness. And he loves you. He loves you as you are, but you know he will not leave you as you are. He has far more in store for you. He has even better things that lie ahead. He has an end to this restless seeking and searching because he gives you himself. The disciples of John found what they were seeking. They found it in Jesus. In fact, they became sort of disciples of Jesus now as they went back to John and told him about everything they had seen and heard. And they tell us about it as well. Jesus is the one you are looking for. He is the one who has come to be your Savior and Lord, your good and faithful King, to see you through this life and into the life of the world to come. Those disciples of John were ready to follow John, who came not eating and not drinking and was accused of being demon-possessed and didn't dance when they told him to. And now they're ready to follow the one who is called a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Why would he be called that? Because Jesus has made himself a friend of us, and he has made himself a friend of all who are sinners. We do not pretend to be those who are righteous in ourselves, but we have come because Jesus is our righteousness, and he is our salvation, and he is our Lord. They follow Jesus, and that's what we do as well. We follow Jesus. We follow him through our restlessness. We follow him through this searching, and we follow him into the joy that he has. And this joy is yours today in the Lord. The joy of sins forgiven, the joy of a life that will never end, the joy of rescue and victory over death and the devil. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you want to know how to fight that restlessness, if you want to know how to end that searching or push back against it, if you want to know how to resist the darkness and the compulsion, it is in this way, by rejoicing in your Lord, by singing and shouting aloud, by receiving what he gives, and when you hear that your sins are forgiven, boldly and confidently saying, "Amen, yes, yes, it is so." And St. Paul would also teach us to pray. Because of what Jesus has done, you can bring all of your anxieties, all of your worries, and all of your restlessness to your God. You can ask him, and he will give the wisdom that comes down from above. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the gift we have in Jesus. Do not be offended by him, but rejoice in him, for he is the one who was to come, who comes now, and who will come again, out of love for you. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, as you once sent messengers before the face of Jesus to prepare his way, so strengthen and encourage pastors and church workers as they make known his saving name. Open the ears of all who hear to rejoice, repent, and firmly believe in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you provided all that was needed for our living nativity, and so we give you thanks. Give us the same wonder and awe over your Son's incarnation as we saw in our guests last weekend, and make true faith in Christ flourish here and among all who came. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, bless the mission offerings we give today and the missions and mercy work that we support with gifts and prayers. Especially we pray for your blessing upon the LCMS Eurasia missions, Michael and Nancy Jane Maurizio, the Lutheran Heritage Foundation, the International Lutheran Council, the Persian Project and Outreach to Muslims in Europe, and Ben and Scarlett Tino in Guatemala. In our own nation, we pray for your blessing on the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, and Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Sergio Trifa and Nathaniel Picari, who are students, Luther Classical College, and all those who are involved in hurricane and disaster relief in the South. We pray also closer to home that you would be with our own New England district and grant that your word in our midst would flourish. We pray for First Concern in Clinton and Marlborough, for CareNet in Fitchburg, for Clearway Clinic and Problem Pregnancy, that you would assist these pregnancy resource centers in their work. And we also commend into your hands the work of the Imago School. Grant that your Son, our Savior, and his mercy would be known around the world in our own nation and in our local communities. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you rescue the daughter of Zion from her enemies. Look with compassion upon the suffering church around the world. Give those who suffer wisdom, courage, and strength. And preserve us all in the joyful hope that you will restore all that is lost with what cannot be taken away. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you command us not to be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, to make our requests known to you.
Give wisdom, health, and success to the authorities who govern us and to those who are newly elected. Give earthly peace in our time, even as your gospel gives eternally the peace that passes all understanding. We pray especially for the people of Haiti, Ukraine, Palestine, and Israel, and Syria. Lord, in your mercy, look with kindness on all people, especially those for whom we pray, asking that you would be with Christine in her recovery and granting to her and her family your peace. We also commend to your care Ed, Kay, Debbie, Judy, Rosemarie, Ino, Paul, Kimberly, Audrey, Care2, and Joyce. Sustain and restore those who are ill and uphold those experiencing the infirmities of old age. We also commend into your care Luke and Liz as they go through a difficult time, that you would be their refuge and strength. And for the Jarvin Paw family in the loss that they have suffered, that you would grant that they might find refuge in you, and that what has been taken from them might be restored in some fashion. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, the Son of Man came eating and drinking with sinners that he might proclaim the kingdom and welcome them in by the forgiveness of sins. As he hosts his supper this day for his repentant people, grant those who partake of his body and blood to be worthy and well prepared, firmly believing the words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy. Hear us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant John the Baptist to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood given us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Today's reading is the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 8. "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.' Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever."
Thank you.
you in remembrance of me. Strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.